James and Sarah Patterson are the duo behind the music of JSP, and both of them are here for a chat with The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
I've done a little bit of research, and I found that you two were making music before JSP. So how does your older stuff compare to what you're now recording?
Well, it's quite interesting because some of the songs on the album are actually some of the songs we actually wrote in our first band that we actually never got to record. So in essence, I guess we really feel, we believe this album actually captures the sound that we've always been after. And so that journey of the style that we write really began at that point. We actually never recorded a lot of those songs either. So, yeah.
And I think even back then, a lot of the songs were still always very much about things that we had been through and gone through in our lives, and sort of sharing that story and being vulnerable and honest with people about struggles and things that we've been through, and hoping that people could relate to it and that could help them in some way. So that's always sort of been the passion and the goal with the music, even way back when, you know, we started in, 2009?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, and that's part of the process. We got to a point where we actually never thought we'd do music again. And hand on heart, I probably didn't touch my guitars for nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we've gone through a lot of hurt and pain and a lot of disillusionment in experiences that we'd had, and we just got to the point of where we had accepted and thought we'd never do music again. And then this happened. So it's quite an incredible miracle that we're even here on the podcast talking to you, even with songs recorded, and we're still pinching ourselves that it actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay, then what was it that caused you to create JSP? I mean, this is still a new music project for you.
Yeah, so I probably came up with the concept after our last band. Essentially, it was like the doors of music were starting to open, but there was a lot of hurt and pain that we hadn't dealt with. And really, the catalyst for this was a few years ago. Unfortunately, Sarah's mother passed away unexpectedly at the age of 60. And it was through that experience and just prior to it that God had flung the doors open in terms of us actually dealing with a lot of the stuff that had happened to us previously.
Mm-hmm.
We actually didn't know that we were carrying all this hurt and pain and how it actually affected us and how we view the world. And it was just literally like this door opened, and then, you know, the scales were flung off our eyes. And it was at this moment, as the person Sarah was talking to said, "What's a dream always been to be?" And she said, "To do music." And then she said, so why not?" And it was the first time we'd actually ever heard the word "so why not." And after Sarah came home and told me about that, I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? So what? It's time." You know, we've been massive fans of Disciple for 20 plus years, and I've been particularly following Josiah's work in all the production and all the bands I've been involved with. And I said, "You know what? I'm just going to send him an email." He responded the next day.
Oh, wow.
He loved our demos, and he said, "I really like to work with you guys. You know, you've got a really unique and different sound." And we ended up with a full album. It's really weird because it was the first time we felt that these doors just flung open and we just had to walk through them. Before, we felt like we were battling. We had this, you know, you're trying to smash walls and doors to get the opportunities and stuff. So this time, the doors just opened and we just had to walk through it. The next thing you know, we're over in Nashville. I still can't believe it happened. So
let's talk more about Disciple, because on your title track, No More, you did pull in Kevin Young of Disciple as guest vocalist.
Yeah. So when we wrote the song, so I actually wrote that sort of rap heavy part in the bridge, and it's so like nothing we've ever done before. And when I wrote it too, it literally like came to me in like seconds and it just flowed out. And I was like, "James, I've got this crazy idea. Just hear me out," and kind of showed it to him. And he was like, "Yeah, wow." But, you know, I'm not a screamer. I've never done that kind of thing before. And so I kind of had a go at doing it in the demo and, you know, it was pretty laughable. And then sort of James had a go and it was a bit better, you know. And so when we sort of showed it to Josiah when we were working in like our songwriting sessions and stuff, he was like, "Yeah, this is great. You know, would you consider, you know, collaborating with someone?" I just sort of jokingly was like, oh yeah, we'd love to get Kevin. That would be amazing. And I was just like joking. And Josiah was like, oh yeah, I can ask him. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'll see. And sure enough, he spoke to him for us and he was more than happy to do it. And we were just blown away by that. Yeah, Kevin's just an amazing guy. He's just so lovely, so down to earth, and just we were just so grateful that he was so willing to just jump on board and be a part of it. And yeah, we were really happy with how it all turned out, and he really enjoyed doing the part on the song, and yeah, it came together really well.
There is a big difference, though, because Sarah, you have a perfect voice.
Oh.
So, did you give Kevin Young any help?
No, he didn't need any help. Yeah, hearing our voices together was really exciting. And yeah, we're just so happy overall with how it came out in the end. So it was definitely the right choice. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Let's carry on with No More, the song. It's powerful. It speaks about trying to turn the corner to get away from Satan's lies. But the question is, how do we distinguish what's coming from Satan versus us just living in a messed up world?
That's a very good question, and I think the very first part of the song, "Whispers in the Dark, Telling Me to Give Up," for a long time you don't actually know that it's what I believe is actually Satan and those lies, because unfortunately a lot of this stuff actually comes from within the Christian environment as well, and it came back to the point of one reason I love rock music is you're able to express emotion. And when the chorus hits "No More," it's out of frustration and anger and saying, "I'm not going to deal with this anymore." But the verses and that are actually based on some of the key parts of scripture. In particular, where it talks about Satan being the accuser of the brethren, and he stands before God night and day, basically accusing us of things like not being good enough for God. I think that's probably the biggest lie that I had to deal with growing up, because there's this element of if things aren't happening in your life, if things aren't going good, or if something bad is happening, or you face struggles, it's always because of something you didn't do. So it's either you didn't have enough faith, you didn't pray hard enough, you didn't have enough Bible study time in the morning. There were all these reasons and justifications. And for me, that left me in a place for a long time. I said, "Well, God's never going to use me for music. Why did he give me the gift of music? I mustn't be good enough for him to use me." And I can look back now and see actually he was going to use me, but I wasn't ready yet. And the way that I was viewing life and the way that I was viewing things was incorrect. What we've done now 20 years ago, I was just not ready emotionally, age-wise, to actually, to be able to deal with that.
And this is what I appreciate about the No More album, because it is honest and it does point out about those struggles. One of those is the song "Don't Attack Me," and that one brings in the lyrics, "Driven by the lies, words you try to hide, the truth you can't see, don't attack me." That does make it sound as if it's coming from a personal experience.
Yeah, no, well, what this song is about, it's really based on James 3, where it says, "Fresh water and bitter water can't flow from the same spring." There's also another line in there too, pre-chorus, it says, "In one breath you're praising your savior, in the next you're cursing your neighbor." And what this is tied to is that there is a justification we believe in the Christian environment that if you disagree with somebody, or somebody hurts you or whatever, that gives you a right to attack them. And that means it could be gossip, it could be slandering. A lot of times we justify treating our own brothers and sisters in Christ badly, like they're the enemy, but in essence, they're still our brother and sister in Christ. And why that is written about that is that we experience this a lot in the Christian environment, in churches in particular, and guilty of also of it as well, with the justification. And you see this a lot. "I don't agree with you on a particular subject, so because I don't agree with you on that, that gives me the right to say horrible things to you, or treat you badly." When you're a Christian, or maybe not a Christian, and then somebody who is a Christian attacks you based on that, it leaves you in a place and going, "But you're a Christian. You shouldn't be doing that to me. Why is this happening in this environment?" And in essence, it actually makes you go, "Well, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites," and that as well. But it's really trying to encourage people, you know, to be careful, because what you say to somebody in a moment of anger can really impact them for the rest of their life.
When you haven't been through something yourself, you don't always understand the situation, and it's so easy to just judge and criticize when you don't understand, but that can really have an effect. And especially as Christians, we're meant to love one another and be there for one another and not be hurting each other with our words.
Well, staying together, that could also tie into you two being married. James, I'm going to put you on the spot and test your memory. And Sarah, you can correct him if he's wrong. When did the two of you first meet?
Okay, so I'd started a new band after my old band sort of fell apart, and we were looking for a lead singer. And so we put an advertisement out, and Sarah responded in interest of being the lead singer. So before we met her, the guys in the band said, because I was the only single guy in the band at that time, you're not allowed to be interested in her or date her. So she joined the band. It was really good because there was no pressure in terms of us being in a relationship or anything like that, but we just became really best friends. And it was, I sort of say it's the first time in our life for both of us that we didn't pretend to be someone else to impress. And then later we started dating. 2 months later, we were engaged, and 5 months later, we were married.
Yeah.
I joke, if you want to meet somebody and you're a musician, start a band. That was 10 years ago now. So,
yeah.
Kind of like my wife and I, we met, and within 9 months, we were married.
Paul had always said to me, oh, when you know, you'll know.
There's a song that I want to challenge you guys about, and I do realize the intention of it's not your fault is to seek God. But the chorus says, it's not your fault what happened to you. You can heal. You can be free again. You hold a burden that was not meant for you. Don't waste your time living without hope. It's not your fault. It's the line, it's not your fault what happened to you. I get that, but some situations are self-inflicted. But I'm guessing that isn't what you were intending.
And that's not what the song's about. There definitely are situations where we do things ourselves, and that's not what the song's talking about. It's talking about in circumstances where things have happened to you that should never have happened to you, particularly in a Christian environment, that was not your fault and that you should not have had to go through what you did. And in a lot of times, particularly in abuse, people start to put that on themselves. Oh, maybe if I hadn't put myself in that situation, or maybe if I had done things differently, and you start putting the blame on yourself and actually blaming yourself for something that somebody else did to you, and you carry that for a long time. And that's not what God wanted. God wants you to have healing from that. And for me, as someone who went through some abuse growing up in an environment that I shouldn't have, you know, I carried that for a lot of years. And it wasn't until not long ago that I could finally come to a place and say, yeah, you know what? This wasn't my fault. What happened to me? I've been carrying this burden for a long time that was never meant for me. God wants me to be free of this and have healing for this. So this song is really about giving hope to those people who should never have gone through certain things that they should have, whether it's abuse or just general hurt or hard things that have been put on them, that they can acknowledge that and receive the healing from God that they need to get through those things.
But what we did in our place of pain, we built up walls around ourselves, and we thought we were protecting ourselves by withdrawing from the world, withdrawing from the church, withdrawing from other people in the space of not being hurt. But actually, in the long run, you're making it worse for yourself. So that in terms of the it's not your fault, it's saying it's not your fault what happened to you, more specifically the abuse, but you can heal and be free again. And, you know, don't waste your time living without hope. I live in my life for 20 years plus, I had lost hope. I have lost hope. Things would never change. I was on this merry-go-round of despair, same things happening over and over again. So in particular, that song is if someone was going to have a conversation with me when I was in that place, that's how I would want someone to approach a conversation for me, validating the feelings, but saying, hey, you might be in that place, but you're actually hurting yourself more. You're carrying this burden that you don't need to. There is hope on the other side. You might not be able to see it now, but don't give up. Don't keep living life that way, because you're actually missing out on all that God actually created you and wanted you to have.
So something that stands out about the No More album is its sound, because it can be dramatic and at times I think it's almost cinematic. So you two of you didn't want to make a typical rock album.
No, we wanted it to be us. That's actually representational of how we write songs. And there's one thing working with Josiah, he didn't make us sound like Disciple. He made us sound like us. Like, he loved the opportunity to work on an album to shape, you know, a full album, because they don't really get that much opportunity these days to do that, producers, because most of it is like one single at a time. But pretty much musically, he loved our style, because we're very much in the sense of we break all the musical rules. We use a genre of music. We don't just stay in the hard rock genre for a lot of them, but we use the music to portray what our message is. You'll hear anything full of pop, rock, worship, indie, CCM, like it's a broad mixture of that. But I think that's one thing working with Josiah, I love this too, because he naturally does that as well. Disciple do that in their music as well. We always cop criticism. You're breaking the rules. No, you can't do that. You can't go and have three different key changes. You can't change tempos. What are you doing that for? It was always constant criticism. But in terms of working with someone like Jess, I love it. Bring it on. You know, like, it's trying to take people on a journey through not only the words and what we've been through, but through the emotions of that as well. But also like to keep people guessing, not be predictable, throw something in there that's just not expected.
Okay, let me bring in one in particular, New Eyes. As I started playing the song, I thought it was going to end up being a new wave tune, and then it transitions into a retro rock style. So it makes me wonder if some older styles have actually influenced JSP.
Oh, absolutely. So, massive fan of DeGarmo and Key. I grew up there. My grandfather actually brought DeGarmo and Key out to Australia on a tour back in the early 90s. He used to bring out some artists. Love Michael W. Smith. You'll hear Michael W. Smith influences even in No More, in the piano riff. I'm a massive fan of Carlos Santana. But, you know, then it goes right through from anywhere from DC Talk to then all the modern rock songs as well. And I think I can point that out now, because Josiah also taught us to listen for, you know, your musical influences and embrace them as well. So I absolutely love that song, because it's really symbolic of really being open about the mental struggle of what was going on in my head. And, you know, like, I've tried to get the guitarist to mirror that, but then switching to, you know, it's time to take the lens off and just trying to find the music that sort of goes with the words to represent that style. So yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, that one.
So then JSP also included a song that still carries that cinematic style, but it was a lot more low key. Don't Cry deals with the passing of someone close. And Sarah, I'm assuming that's your mother.
Correct. Yeah.
Was that a struggle doing that song?
Yeah, I mean, the song just kind of came quite naturally. And to be honest, it wasn't one that I was initially going to put on the album. I just kind of thought that I wrote it really just as just a process of grief, and that it was just something I felt to do and just sort of came to me. And I didn't even show it to Josiah actually until close to the end of sort of finishing up the songs for the album. And then I just kind of, we thought, yeah, look, let's just send it to him and see what he thinks. And yeah, he really loved it. And it's kind of surprised me, actually. Like, even we did that song at our launch just a couple of weeks ago, and there were quite a few people who said to me, oh, you know, loved all the songs, but yeah, Don't Cry, that one touched me the most. And I was kind of a bit taken back. And I don't know whether just because it was like so personal to me that I didn't know that other people would really relate to it, but it's kind of shown me now how many other people it's just really touched. And I guess anyone who's gone through grief, that it can kind of help them through that process. And
and I think one of the big things, like the first chorus is about the shock of the loss, the second one's about the acceptance. But the last one too, I think, is really big, is that it's okay to miss the person. we'll see them again in heaven and all that, but they're naturally, there will be days where you just miss someone who's been such a big part of your life. And I think a lot of people feel pressure that they're not allowed to feel like that. But one of the beautiful moments on that one is the ending outro, where we just flip it from the minor key to the major key and just finish with that big ending. But it's representational of the hope that we have that that's not the end. It really, in a sense, is a beginning that we'll see one day, but we don't want to be, you know, stuck there living in that place and forgetting about, you know, the eternal hope that we will see that person, those who believe in Jesus, we will see them again in heaven.
Right. I think I mentioned when we were starting this interview that I've interviewed quite a number of artists from Australia, but you and Sarah are the first that I've met from Canberra. So what's the city like music-wise?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. There's not much music kind of happening here at the moment. I think COVID kind of had a lot to do with that. There's not much of a live music scene anymore, which is sort of frustrating. And we're sort of, you know, connecting with other bands around Australia now and trying to sort of figure out ways that we can try and help sort of build up the live music scene again here in Australia and things. It's also a bit of a challenge with our genre as well, because I think here in Australia, it's not what's popular. I guess, you know, here's mainly plays like your sort of folk pop Christian music. Sort of contemporary worship music is mainly what gets played. But in saying that, it's been really interesting since we started releasing our music, just the feedback that we've been getting from people and going, oh, yes, it's so great to finally hear some great Christian rock here in Australia. So I think people do want to hear it. It just hasn't been the norm for a while. And yeah, so we're hoping to kind of, you know, we're seeing gradually stations are picking up some of our songs and, you know, getting our name out there and getting more exposure. And we're really, you know, really big on just trying to encourage local Christian talent as well. So it's been really exciting just networking and getting to know other local Christian bands as well, and just supporting each other and helping each other just get out there and start building something. Again, we're starting to see more Christian music festivals starting up and coming back that sort of haven't been around since COVID and things like that. So it's a bit of an exciting time, to be honest. You're sort of seeing God working and bringing people into our lives and seeing doors open and just people with the same heart and the same passion and things, and can sort of see God's doing something. So it's exciting. We're not sort of sure where it's going to go, but yeah, really excited to see what God's going to do in that space here in Australia.
That's awesome. Because that also helps you just to push on when you realize that you're not just alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, we had three other local bands join us for our album launch. And, you know, we're very big on what we're saying. The music's our vehicle to our testimony. And we're really seeing bands come up now who are really sharing about their story, because that's really, honestly, what the purpose of Christian music really should be about.
Well, it's pretty obvious that the music of JSP is all faith focused, but you two took it to a higher level on Holy, the last song from the album, because effectively it's a worship song. Was that important for the two of you to finish No More with a song like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, the beginning of this song probably happened during COVID period, but the song was really written based on the true characteristics of God. And it was written of based on four or five key scriptures, but it's really intentional, because we want to say, no matter what you've been through, what we're about and what our music is about is pointing back to Jesus. There is nothing that you have done that will make you not good enough for Jesus. His love is bigger than your mistakes and regrets. But we also want to point back to the whole purpose of Christianity, the whole purpose of, you know, who we are and what we're about. Yeah, it was very, very intentional on that one. We love it too. I think one of the frustrations that we've had as musicians is that worship has got a very, what we call a very defined sound that is accepted in, you know, what we play in church on Sunday. And there's a freedom in being able to worship God in the way that you write music as well. You know, that song that does break the rules. It's in three different keys and has other components of it, but it's sort of like, not only worshiping God, but worshiping God how we would write songs as well. And when we did our album launch, we finished the night with that song. We didn't do an encore, but we're very pointed in saying we want you to remind you that, what the gospel is about, what we're about as Christians, and the struggles and all that that we go through. There is a purpose to all of this as well. And yeah, I don't think you can miss the fact that, what we're about.
Is No More just a one-shot kind of thing for JSP, or are you going to carry on with this project?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was guaranteed that you already had album number three in the works.
We're let me say this. We want to.
Yeah.
The reality of this journey is you just told us this was going to happen 2 years ago. We would have said that you're nuts. Where we are at the point is that we believe we've been faithful and God opening the doors for this music. And like particularly after our album launch, our heart has been, God, we're surrendering this music for you to open the doors, and we'll go through the doors that you open. For us, there's an element of ensuring that we're not trying to bash down doors ourselves to try and make things happen. This experience has been phenomenal. I miss working with all the people that, have helped us on this actual project. Quite honestly, we are excited. We're back home here, and I'm already playing guitar and, coming up with new ideas and writing things. And No More is a reflection of who we are in our own lives. So it's not just writing songs for an album. We're writing songs about the experiences and things that we go through, and we want to keep continually doing that. So we wholeheartedly pray that it's not, but that there's just an element of, I guess, as we've got older, that we don't want to carry expectations that might not be where God wants to take this music. And we honestly said to ourselves before we did this project and said, if this is the only thing we ever do with music, to be in a position that we will be happy with it and that we've done that. Like I'm talking to you. Every day we're meeting new people who hear our music and that as well. So
And God is just continuing to open doors, and that's really exciting. So, I guess, yeah, to answer your question, we would love to. We're just, I guess, at the moment, just waiting to see what God does with this and go from there.
well, I got to say, personally, I love it. So JSP has been here on The Antidote to share their debut album, No More. Thanks so much for the two of you coming for this talk.
Oh, thanks so much for having
Yeah,
us.
thank you so much.